The text for the sermon you'll find in Hebrews chapter 12, the verses 1, 2, and 3. Hebrews 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. Thus far the reading. After the sermon, let us respond by singing from hymn 43, all six stanzas. Hymn 43 after the sermon. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, every summer, a special endurance race takes place. Thousands of spectators line the route of the Tour de France, and even more people are riveted to the TV to see who is the winner of the run of the day. Now, Hebrews 11 tells us about winners from the Old Testament who have won their personal endurance race, the race of faith. And these men and women finished the course marked out for them. It was a race that went from struggle to triumph, as they persevered in the faith. Now, this catalog of saints in Hebrews 11 is listed in the Bible for our encouragement. The New Testament frequently depicts Christians as athletes who must concentrate on the race in order to gain a glorious and unfading crown. The Apostle Paul summed up his life as a Christian, saying, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." And so may all of us here come to say the same thing at the completion of our race. For yes, we too are in the race. The letter to the Hebrews pictures us as competitors who compete in the faith in the arena of life. And the encouraging news is that we are not alone in this arena of life. We are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses who have already completed the race. And with that in mind, I bring you God's word about running the race in faith. And we look at two things. First of all, that this race is an endurance race. And secondly, that that race is to be focused on Christ Jesus. Now, after listing some of the names of the Old Testament saints, the writer to the Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us run with endurance the race marked out for us." And now the question is, how are these Old Testament saints witnesses? Some commentators suggest that these Old Testament saints are spectators who watch us run the race as their successors. However, I don't think that is too likely. This cloud of witnesses are not a group of spectators who are lining the halls of heaven, looking down on us and watching us run the race. Rather, they are shining examples to us as men and women whose lives are a witness to their testimony to their own faith. And by their loyalty and endurance, they have shown what life is like in following God's direction. And so it is not them looking at us. It is us that needs to look at them for encouragement. Their witness cheers us on, so to speak, because the race we run concerns the cause of Christ. And through their biblical voices, they encourage us in our race of faith. For isn't it remarkable how we are told that Abel — we did not read about him, but you can look that up in chapter 11, verse 4, that Abel, though long dead, is still speaking through his faith. And so then the Old Testament saints are witnesses in the sense that they have proved themselves to be true professors of their faith in their time, with the world looking on as spectators. And like them, we must run the race in our world in which the God of the Bible, and that means therefore the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, that God in this world is hardly acknowledged anymore. In many ways, we live in a world that is out of control. Everyone follows his or her own inclinations. It is a world that is ever evolving, but never arriving at the proper destination. And in such a world, we have to keep our bearing as Christians. And we can do so only by remaining steadfast in the faith. And now the good news is, my brothers and sisters, that every contest, and in this contest, every true believer is a winner. For the prize for completion of the race is the crown of eternal life. And this prize is guaranteed to all who compete and complete the race. Even so, Paul warns us elsewhere that we must run in order to attain the crown. And how must we run? By throwing off everything that could hinder us and hold us back in the race of faith. You see, every Christian competitor in the race of faith needs to rid him or herself of sin, which so easily entangles us and sticks to us. What kind of sin? Well, I'm not going to mention specific ones, but think about it this way. Any sin that pulls at us because of our character. Now, we all have different characters, and they are attracted by certain sins and weaknesses and desires, and so manages to entangle us, and therefore any sin in any way, shape, or form is a hindrance until it is put away. Now, you know that athletes who participate in a race need rigorous and self-discipline and training. And the same kind of self-discipline and training are vital for our daily spiritual contest, since Scripture teaches that the desire of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desire of the Spirit are against the flesh. Spirit and flesh are always in conflict with each other. And so only by keeping in step with the Spirit, Paul writes in Galatians 5, will the conflict be won. For remember that on this racetrack of life, we have a long, long way to run. It's a marathon that lasts a lifetime. And that requires endurance and perseverance. And so it is no wonder that we are told to throw off every weight and sin that can be a hindrance in running the race with perseverance. And this reminder and word of advice of Paul to the Christian, or of the writer to the Hebrews, was necessary both then, but also today. For you see, we can all make a good start in serving God. The question is, though, do we stick with it? It is so often like love at first sight. But after a while, the novelty wears off and love tends to grow cold. And that happens not infrequently to Christians who are new to the faith. Well, the letter to the Hebrews was written to Christians who had made a good start in serving Christ, but who began to slacken in their resolve to persevere. And so via this letter, they are told to shake off that sluggish mood, to regain their confidence, and to hone their competitive skills and spirit. And the same goes for you and I. It is so easy to think that when we believe, we have arrived. After all, the Holy Spirit has worked faith in our hearts and now dwells in us. So what more do we need? But the faith that the Holy Spirit worked in us is not the finish line. You see, it helps us get out of the starting gate. And the running the race of faith requires that we stay totally involved and totally committed. And so Christian faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. But faith speaks of hope and certainty. And therefore faith is something with which you have to work and be active as long as the Lord gives you life. For faith is not something that is static. Faith is not something you put in your backpack and carry along. No, faith calls us to action. And that's why we have a great cloud of witnesses of saints who were active in the faith. These men and women are set before us as shining examples of people who persevered and completed the race in faith, which tells us that we need to take our faith also very seriously. Faith is more than saying, I believe in Jesus. We must also say, because Christ Jesus died for me, I want to run the race that is set out before me. And none of us here, no one, can ever be reluctant participants in that race. God has placed us in a race of a lifetime that lasts a lifetime. And now we should realize that that race is not the same for everyone. God did not enter every one of us in the same 10-kilometer run. No, the one has longer to live than the next, and perhaps with more obstacles to face. But in whatever race the Lord has placed you, we have one thing in common. For each one of us, life is an endurance race and not a short, quick sprint. And therefore, perseverance is the key. But how can you and I hold out in that endurance race if we do not rid ourselves of that excess baggage? If we don't train for that run? Getting rid of excess baggage is the first requirement in running a successful race. If we do not consciously fight against sin, then we get too easily entangled in sin. Sin unchecked will inevitably snag you and trip you up before you know it. And so the reality and danger of sin is that it so easily distracts our attention from God. And therefore, as runners in the race, we are urged to rid ourselves of every obstacle and to compete with dogged determination. But just running, my brothers and sisters, does not do the trick. Or some people are always running, or better, they're always on the run. They're running away from themselves, they're running away from others, and they're running away from God. And it becomes an aimless run. And that is because sin often makes us forget that the race we are in begins and ends with Christ. The race to which you are called leads you to a certain goal. And now the thing is that that goal does not belong to our world of time. It belongs to eternity. And that goal you must keep in mind. Christians keep on target by looking to the Lord Jesus. For as you know, runners in a race do not have time to look around. They must remain focused. As a coach pumps up the players to keep his focus, well, the weekly sermons sort of pump you up to keep your focus on Christ Jesus, on whom our faith depends from start to finish. The focus is on him because he also has run his race, and he has successfully completed its course. He persevered till the end. And so in Christ Jesus, you have the most noble and shining example. He is called the founder and perfecter of our faith. And that brings us then to the second point. The race that we're in is a race that is focused on Christ. Now, you know that the objective of any race is to reach the finish line. As we run the course that God has laid out for us, we need to keep our eyes of faith trained on Jesus. For he is the one who encourages us to persevere in the contest, and he does so because he also has run his race. The Lord Jesus is the one who strengthens the runner and enables us to endure if we look to him. And now you can ask the question, is the race really worth the effort? Well, Moses, who is one of the witnesses mentioned in the list of saints, he obviously knew that it was worth the effort. As you know, and we read it together, he had a lot of good things going for him at the Egyptian court. He had all the wealth of Egypt for the taking. But what do we read? He regarded this grace for the sake of Christ as of greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. And that is why he chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. These are the verses 26 and 25. And he looked away from the present suffering and fixed his attention on him who is the reward. And then here you get something very unique. For he persevered because he saw him who is invisible. Verse 27. Did you see that and hear that? Moses persevered because he saw the Christ who was still invisible, Scripture says. But what a witness then, and what faith, what a focus. He was in it for the long haul. And how does that make Moses one of the cloud of witnesses? Well, he saw the faith in him. He saw in faith him who is invisible. And you and I, we may look to Jesus who has come. And please consider it significant and telling that the name of the Lord Jesus is not among the list of saints who ran the race of faith. Could have been, you know, like we don't know exactly when the letter to the Hebrews was written. So the author of this letter could maybe not use Paul and Peter and others as an example. So he had to use Old Testament saints. But he knew of the completed race of the Lord Jesus. So he could have also mentioned him. But the Lord Jesus is not in this list. You see, Christ Jesus receives special recognition as the author and as the finisher of the faith. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Jesus, whom God perfected through suffering, in turn perfects his brothers and sisters who keep their focus on him. And so our Savior is the founder and perfecter of faith. We can also say he's the origin and finisher of faith. He is the perfecter and finisher of faith because he himself ran the race of faith that is to its triumphant conclusion and finish. In him, all faith and trust reached its perfection. And so his life was characterized by unbroken and unfailing trust in his heavenly Father. He is the author of faith also because the believers of the Old Testament looked ahead to our Lord, who said of himself in his lifetime, before Abraham was, I am. And did the Apostle Paul not call Christ the rock on which Israel relied and rested in their travels through the wilderness? He went before his people all along. And that is why he is the author or the founder of faith. But now the question, founder of what kind of faith? And that brings you to a very serious question that you should ask yourself once in a while. And that is the question, who is the Lord Jesus for you? You see, there's a lot of truth in the statement, tell me who the Christ is, and I will tell you what you are as a Christian. You see, time and again, people have tried to do without him. Rationalism and modernism rob Christ of his deity, and they just reduce him to a mere man, an example. They depict him as being no more than a role model for us to follow. But if that is your idea of the Lord Jesus Christ, what then is left of the author and perfecter of faith? What then is left of faith itself? Now, in looking to the Lord Jesus, we are looking at the Savior of the world who ran the race marked out for him by his Father. And in that way, he is the supreme example of faith. His whole earthly life is the most perfect illustration of trust in God. For it is marked from start to finish by total dependence on the Father and complete harmony to his will. And please keep that in mind, my brothers and sisters, because at times we have the tendency to think that all these things are sort of kind of easy for the Lord Jesus. Because as the Christ, he's also God, and God can do everything. But in his race of faith, life was hard. It wasn't easy. For the Father marked out a path of suffering for his Son, as Isaiah prophesied. You can read it in chapter 3. But afterwards, the Father filled him with joy, we read in Scripture and in our text. The Son of God set out on that course of faith and pursued it to the end without wavering. And that is how he surpassed all the others. And that is how he is uniquely qualified to be the author and perfecter of the faith for his followers. And that is why the Lord Jesus is not listed in Hebrews 11. You see, he deserves special mention and recognition. And it is good to know, of course, that the catalog of faith and the catalog of the Old Testament saints who are true witnesses of the faith and to the faith. But ultimately, your and my attention must be riveted on Christ Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of the faith, who is not ashamed to call his brothers and sisters his brothers and sisters. And so our Savior ran a difficult race. But the text says he did so for the joy that was set before him. And what was that joy? Well, in the fourth gospel, John relates how Jesus told his disciples of his desire that his joy might be in them, so that their joy may be complete. And in the same way, in the letter to the Hebrews, the joy that was set before the Lord Jesus is not something that he kept and keeps for himself, though he shares it with us, for whom he gave his life. He came to do his redeeming work, not for himself, but for us. And so Christ's joy abounds over every lost sheep that is found. He rejoices over every church member that was dead through trespasses and sins, but has come to life again through the working of the Holy Spirit. And his joy is the joy of heaven over every sinner who repents and returns to the Father's home. His joy is that we may have a share in his joy, so that our joy may be complete. And to that end, the Lord Jesus Christ is our supreme inspirer of faith. He is the focus of attention in our endurance race. And if at times we become weary on the way and grow tired and faint-hearted because there seems to be no end to life's obstacles, then we should consider him. For Jesus, the road to joy that lay ahead of him came by way of the cross. His race ended at the cross, scorning the shame, it says in our text. And what does that tell you? Does that not declare to you his unselfish love for you? And now perhaps it is good to be reminded once again that the shame of the cross, as it is mentioned here in our text, that the shame of the cross is something far more intense than the pain of the cross. You see, also other people have hung on the cross and suffered the pain of crucifixion. And in that sense, the Lord Jesus Christ was not unique. But Christ alone was the one who endured the shame of the human depravity in all its foulness and degradation. He hung there as the righteous for the unrighteous. And so Christ endured it all because he knew his cross was the gateway to joy. His joy and ours. For Jesus is now exalted at the right hand of God. His exaltation is the theme that recurs throughout the epistle to the Hebrews. The suffering of the Lord Jesus is always cast in light, that light of his subsequent glory. And so the call to persevere in the race comes to us with a view to that glory. And the purpose for that? So that you and I do not grow weary or lose heart during the race, but find our daily strength and courage in Christ Jesus, who sits at the right hand of the throne of God. The Lord Jesus is the originator of the faith and the finisher of the faith. And your and my faith depends on his finished work. As Moses saw by faith him who is invisible, so faith gives us today the vision and assurance of things hoped for and the certainty of things not seen. It is in Christ Jesus that our faith rests, and he leads our life to its completion. And there, my brothers and sisters, lies our hope in the race that we are in and we all have to complete. But remember, Christ Jesus is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. And that also means that none of us here can do without him. Whatever we try to do without him, life gets messy. From start to finish, we need the divine Christ who fills us with faith, who keeps us in the faith, and who finally crowns us in the faith. And therefore, all eyes to the Lord Jesus, each day new. And I stress that because we have the tendency to look at other Christians and not the Christ. We have the tendency to listen to what other Christians say rather than what Scripture says about the Christ. We have the tendency to read Christian liturgy, literature, but not the Bible. But Scripture says, look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. That is how you run the race without excess baggage. And that is how you will not grow weary and lose heart. Look to Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. And the hope of faith in which you run that race shall not deceive you. Amen.